Sanyo FM, thank you for listening to today's best music on 88.2 Sanyo FM, and welcome to Under the Sun, brought to you by British Council. On this show, we'll bring you fiction stories from the hottest Ugandan writers, stories that cover everything under the sun. You'll also have a chance to win some beautiful prizes from British Council, and that's a USB flash disk, a British Council city bag, a British Council keyring, a British Council umbrella, and a British Council business card holder. Some amazing prizes for you to win. We'll tell you how to win those fantastic prizes in a few minutes. This week, we'll bring you a short story called Passion or Poison by Irene Luiga, who is in the studio with me. Also joining us will be Goretti Chomuhendo. We'll get to talk to them in a moment. Under the Sun is a program that was devised by Graham Mott for the British Council, produced by Faith Kenani and Graham Mott. And my name is Ben Mwine to present the show. Okay, so now on to our first part of our story. It's called Passion or Poison, and it was written by Irene Luiga. And it's a beautiful story about a woman who, after the death of her mother, is torn between remaining a daughter and becoming her father's stepfather's lover. His passion or poison.
Oh, that was really close. He seems set on doing it. Oh, what should I do? Should I tell Auntie Sally? Oh, if only Mama were here. Then there are school fees. If I tell anyone, Daddy will stop paying for my education. I've come this far by him. Daddy indeed. Is he still a daddy after this? Oh, and where is my real dad? Mama! Who's my real father? Before Mr. Msenze came into our lives, Mama was struggling to feed me and send me to school. She worked as an office messenger in the Ministry of Education. She always told me that what she earned was barely enough to keep us going. She said that my real father had come into her life and disappeared just like that. At the time, it didn't make sense. As a child, I had always prayed that my mother would one day find my father. I longed to live like the other children at school. They talked about their fathers with fondness. How I longed for a daddy. That was almost 10 years ago. I'm now a second-year law student. I remember the first time he came home with Mama. Almost 10 years ago. Mama had woken up earlier than usual to tidy up the house and told me that she would come home with a guest.
A guest? A guest? Mama!
I got up, dressed up. In no minutes I was up and about the house, sweeping, dusting, and singing all at once. Mama has a guest today, Mama has a guest today. She's happier than she's ever been before. Mama has a guest today, Mama has a guest today. I ought to wish her sunny days ahead. I still wonder where in hell such a tune could have come from. But there I was, fussing over a guest I had not seen yet. The wait seemed like forever. I did not even hear the car break. The knock sprung me to the door. I opened it. Towering behind Mama was this hunk. Wow, he'd pass for a prince. Handsome, majestic. I led them into the house. I knelt down and greeted Mama. Then I turned to the guest and, smiling sheepishly, I held out my hand to him. It had the several, we exchanged greetings. Funny why, as a child, I felt the featheriness of his palm. Lucky Mama. That is how Mr. Msenze came to live with us. He started off as a frequent visitor. Slowly by slowly, his clothes began to be washed among ours. Mama began referring to him as Omwami Wange in the company of her buddies. Naturally, I called him Tata. I came to like him. He seemed to fill that empty daddy spot in my life. Tata took on the full responsibility of providing for us. He sent me to a posh school, brought home all the goodies that we had all seen in catalogues before. Life took a new easy turn. We swam in luxury for 8 years. However, Mama was diagnosed with cancer In no time, she had become real thin. Before I could catch up with the reality of the situation, Mama was terminally ill. Finally, she died. I'm very cold, curled on the floor behind one of the sofa seats. My shoulder hurts. Oh, I've twisted something. Maybe a muscle. It must have happened when I yanked myself out of his grip. God, he's hunting for me. Queer how a government official stomps around the house in his boxers. Come on, sleep. Give me a break. I don't need you now. The heavy sleep I am nearly got me off guard a few hours ago. It was all like a sweet dream, someone caressing my nape. I blinked. A beam of moonlight pierced my eyes. Psh, I turned. And there he was, fidgeting with the neck hook of my nightshirt. Since Mama's death, Tata has been the shoulder to cry on when it all seemed impossible. There have been moments of such grief when we've both broken down and wept. It was during such a moment that he asked me to leave my hostel and come home to stay with him. The house is empty and cold, sweetheart. I miss you so much. Seeing no harm in the idea of living with my stepfather, I packed my stuff and he drove me home. It was Saturday, so I had weekend plans. As soon as I had unpacked my bags, I showered, changed, and I was out of the house by 4 o'clock. I hung out with my buddies until late. My former roommate's brother drove me home past midnight. The gate man opened for me. The light in the living room was on. I let myself into the house through the back door. As I crept past the doorway of the living room, he howled, "Solomé!" I jolted. Sheepishly, I walked into the living room. He was sitting in the big chair by the stereo. His face was still. He did not smile or blink. That is the same empty gaze he wore this evening as he tried. Grimly, he told me that night that parties and home drops were not permitted, that the maid was to leave. She would only be coming in once a week, and that would be eating out. At the time, this decision seemed quite okay. And that's how it has been. We've been together to all those happening places around town. We have dined and wined for the last 2 years. Somehow, the sad memory of Mama and the grief seem to have just disappeared into the background. Life has taken a different dimension. Daddy and I seek solace in each other, but of late, he has been acting strange, unusually quiet and withdrawn. His behavior seems to have affected me as well. My friends are questioning my new irritable attitude recently. I can't tell them what's causing it. Should I ask him what the somber mood is for? But that would seem like going so far. He's my dad. I can't help wondering how on earth you could have got the CD that he has been playing for the past few months. The way he's been singing the song tells it all. Bikula kabina solo me, labayama vere solo me bikonde. I'm cold. He tore off all the buttons on my nightshirt, which is concrete evidence, but the law states that a victim of assault should report their case to the police and later appear in court with visual evidence of the assault. But how in Kampala do I stand bruised and in tatters? I would be in Bukedde the following day. Mulalu! The headlines will read in bold black and white. I must decide. I have my integrity to protect. Above all, I have Mama's dignity to uphold. Where could Mr. Caring Turned Cunning be? Does the break of a new day spell a new beginning for me? My God, he's sleeping in the sofa behind which I'm crouching. God give my feet the softest tiptoe and the swiftness of a deer. I have to leave the house. God, he's stirring. He's waking up. Quietly does it. Goodbye home. Mr. Mzenzi can go to hell on foot. I lived through that night, so I know I'll pull through on my own. But where to now? Who will help me now? Oh!
And that is our short story for today, Passion or Poison. It's written by Irene Luiga, who is joining us in the studio today. She's a teacher by profession and currently works with Aga Khan Primary School. She has been writing poems and short stories since 1994. She was nominated International Poet of Merit in 1995 by the International Society of Poets in Maryland and USA. And two of her poems were also recognized by the National Library of Poetry in Maryland. Good to have you with us, Irene. Welcome to Sanyu FM.
Thank you.
And also in the studio with us is celebrated author Gorethi Chomhendo, who was born in Hoima here in Uganda and was the first female Ugandan writer to be invited to the International Writing Program at the University of Iowa in the U.S. She is the coordinator of the Uganda Women's Writers Association, FEMWRITE, and it's more than an honor to have you with us, Gorethi, as well. Welcome to Sanyu FM.
Thank you, and good evening, listeners.
So, Gorethi, what do you think about Passion or Poison?
First of all, I'd like to say that I'm naturally excited when I meet a writer, not only a writer, but a female writer, because that means that we are adding to our own brood. So I'm very excited to meet Luiga. I'm very excited to also meet her writing, which I really think is very powerful. I've noted some few major things about this story. The first I'd like to say is that I like the smooth transition from the present and the past. It is so smooth, it is so natural, and you don't meet any roadblocks as you transit from the past to the present and back. And to me, this shows skill at handling the story. The other thing I'd like to mention about this story is the narrative voice, which is very, very powerful. I always find the child narrator, using a child to narrate a story, very powerful, very believable, very original. There are no pretenses about this narrator. And the other thing I like to mention is the topical theme, what you have chosen to write about. It is very pertinent, it is very relevant to our society today. We see these things happening, and it is very easy to identify with. And I also like the local flavor. Mm-hmm. Of the story, you know, the Uganda words, the songs, so all that helps a reader to identify with it.
And thanks a lot, Gorethi. Irene, what inspired Passion or Poison?
Okay, Passion or Poison was born out of the radiophonics project under the leadership or under the guidance of Graham Mott of British Council. But I looked at all, because it was free choice, you had to choose what to write about. Then I thought, this thing is in our society. It does happen, real fathers try to rape or even rape their own children. Stepfathers are even worse at it, because in most cases they don't feel any bond with the child. So looking at everything that there was to write about, I chose to write about it, because it's something that is silent in society, but hurting as well.
Something that grabbed my attention here, Gorethi, you know all about writing. Irene leaves us in suspense at the end of the story. What do you make of that? We don't know what's going to happen to Solomon, where she is going. Relating that to what actually happens in society, what are we supposed to get from that?
Yeah, suspense is another very powerful writing technique, because it leaves you wanting to know more. But at the same time, I think she has wrapped it up quite well, because Solomon escapes, and that is very suggestive. She escapes, and we know she has managed, and I think the last line says that she will manage on her own. So it's a very good wrap-up of the story.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that some of the themes in there, I mean, touching especially women who have to go through all this, especially here in Uganda, you realize that Solomon is scared to escape in the first place because she wants to maintain the dignity of her mother and doesn't want to be shamed as well. She talks about, you know, being a newspaper item. What happens to women who are still in the same situation but haven't had the courage to get out, just like Solomon has?
Yeah, that is a very big challenge, because this story tells it all. You know, she mentions that if you go to court, you have to produce evidence of attempted rape or being raped, and to her that is a very sensitive issue. And that's why I'm glad that Irene has managed to highlight this kind of evil, you know, for the other women you mentioned who are out there and quite afraid of coming up. Maybe this kind of story can encourage them, and especially the way it ends on a very positive note.
There's something about this in your story, Irene, that I'd like you to shed some light on. Solomon's father-in-law is a government official.
Stepfather
is a government official. Doesn't that intimidate the young woman from, you know, stop her from going out to the authorities and say, this is what's going on?
So it's quite a sensitive issue. This is the person she's looking to for school fees. This is the person she was left to be the caregiver until she can stand on her own, and he's a government official. So she has to choose. Should she go to court, she has to protect first her integrity, then her late mother's dignity, and then there is a way I think she would want not to make it so alarming by going to court, and then she has to go to court. So it becomes very confusing, and that's why we realize in most cases the girls have to give in, because when they look out, there's no one to turn to, there's no one to help them. They go to court, it will drag, and you know the government official could cut it off. And what happened?
What about the fact that she actually did take things from her stepfather? He took her to all the places as it is. Wouldn't it be assumed by a man that because you're taking these things from me, I should expect something in return?
But remember, the father came when the girl was yearning for a father, and here he comes, comfortably fills the empty dad spot in her life. And for those of us who have studied psychology, there is what is called the Oedipus complex, where the girls tend to associate more with the dad. So the girl may have done it, or she did it because this was dad to her, and the father maybe developed along the way, but he had been a father all along.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, that's Irene Luyiga, the author of Passion of Poison. That has been our short story for today.